The running joke is, we're from Southern California. We drive to the mailbox.
Hey, that's not so funny, though. Hey, that's my guest, Tony Petros. Tony, a member of the Newport Beach Bike Safety Committee. Tony and I met about a year ago. We were both on the precursor to the committee, the Bike Safety Task Force. We got to know each other. And he's on the show today. And you're listening to CDM Cyclist. And I'm your host, Frank Peters. Thanks for joining me once again. And the whole idea behind the blog, much like the Bike Safety Committee, we're talking to bicycle advocates. We're going to learn together best practices, how to improve bike safety here in the Southland. Tony, as you're going to find out, is quite the cyclist himself. In the show notes, I write that I did the interview in his office, and his office, like a museum to the Tour de France. Tony, quite a serious bike rider. So we get into all of that in today's show. But first, let me say thank you to my sponsor. That would be BikeTiresDirect.com. Bike Tires Direct, as the name implies, tires for your bike, but so much more. Apparel, equipment, lights, everything you need to equip your bicycle safely. Check them out, please. BikeTiresDirect.com. Well, Tony, he brings a lot of professional experience to the committee. Let's get right to it.
Sure. Good morning, Frank. Tony Petros. I'm a principal with LSA Associates.
And what is LSA, Tony?
We're a full-service planning firm, planning and engineering firm, with 11 offices all around California and in Colorado. Providing environmental planning is our primary core business.
Yeah. So, Tony, how about the intersection of like LSA and bicycle safety? There's a connection there.
Well, as the one of the principals in our transportation group, I work in all facets of mobility, highway, port, air travel, transit, and I have a personal interest in cycling. So we do bicycle plans, we do pedestrian plans, and I took it as a personal interest to get involved in the Newport Beach Cycling Safety Committee.
That's where we met, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That first committee task force convened just about a year ago, right?
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I thought we did some pretty good work.
We did some pretty good work, and we've already got some things to show for our efforts, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. We've got Sharrows on Bayside in Corona del Mar.
Then the plan hopefully will yield and render more products based on our recommendations here soon, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. What were some of your favorite, you know, we talked about hot spots and other issues. What were some of the issues for you as it related to bike safety in Newport Beach?
I'd have to step back first, Frank, and say that one of the greatest achievements that I thought that we had was just to turn from our table and look back and see the public who came. There's clearly an interest in town. The fact that there were people who took that interest and came and shared with us their thoughts was really good, that the city offered a forum for people to bring their issues before us. So I think that if we did nothing else, the fact that the residents of Newport Beach and the cycling community had a venue was very, very valuable.
Community involvement is key.
Correct, correct. Yeah. I was really struck, too, by the level of engagement from our committee members, their knowledge of cycling and and town, and I am most proud of the work that we did both from the perspective of the competitive cyclist to the recreational cyclist. I thought the spectrum that people took to it was very, very valuable.
Yeah, that spectrum that keeps coming up because. It's a balance, I suppose, to meet the needs as you're looking at, say, Newport Beach as a blank slate. What are the things you could do to improve? Mm-hmm. There are some, well, not competing interests, but degrees of how you might solve different problems.
We live in a beautiful climate where people want to be outside. It's a community that's really engaged in athletics. We are home to some of the best endurance athletes, yet it's also one of the number one vacation spots in the United States.
Yeah.
And as people come and just want to enjoy our climbs, they're going to get on a bike.
Right. Now, I just started getting back on my bike about 2 years ago, and that was the big surprise for me. I was living in one of the best places I could imagine for cycling. How about yourself? You've been cycling for a long time, Tony.
Very long time.
Your walls, the walls were in your office today, and you have great big bicycle photos on your walls here.
They're vintage posters of about the 1920s Tour de France. I also have the Tour de France posters from the centennial version running of the race and some other races. I really enjoy cycling, both as a participant and spectator.
Well, really, now that I look around, Tony, your office is like a little mini museum here. You've got snapshots and posters and everything else here. So you're a committed cyclist. So it was easy for you to get involved with the safety committee?
Yes, it was. It was. I, as a resident of Newport Beach, I believe it's important to give back. One of my talents, as we said, is cycling. I understand it. Mm-hmm. It's part of my profession. And if I can make a difference, that's what really matters.
You brought a professional background to the committee too, Tony. You're familiar with working with municipalities.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And I've done a lot of work in town professionally and in this area. So mm-hmm. it was beneficial to have that professional experience and lend it to the committee. I think in many cases, though, that pause, if you will, wasn't necessarily well received. I think people wanted, they noticed that there was an issue, they wanted resolution, and they wanted it now.
Yeah.
And yet, in issues where you're talking about the general public, there needs to be just a moment where you say, okay, what is the best interest of all constituents? And let's take a measured view of things.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, planning it so that the outcome
correct
is what you want.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a frustration for me. I come from the world of entrepreneurship, so it's like, think it, do it. And so anyway, you were a great balance because you understand the process there. But anyway, we're encouraged. There's still a lot to do. What are some of the projects that are key for you, Tony, as you look ahead to improving cycling access?
I think that if we were to look at degrees in our town, clearly there are some major arteries that we've got some issues on. Many, many cyclists enjoy going through town on Coast Highway. And yet there are stretches of that artery that are not as safe as they could be for cyclists. There's been issues between enforcement of laws through Mariner's Mile that we can maybe take a look at and address. I think that when issues of cycling safety come up, we hear mostly from the organized and the competitive cycling community, yet there might be an underrepresented constituency out there, just the recreational cyclists, the young man or woman that wants to leave their garage and just go around Back Bay. Are mm-hmm. they being served? Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to really take a good measured look at all, again, to come back to it, the spectrum of users.
Well, that's a good point, Tony. So, the casual recreational cyclist, he's not organized, so hearing his voice it's harder to tap into that. Some of the things that I read, too, is getting more of those recreational casual cyclists out there is all part of that, cycle of increasing awareness with the motoring public, getting more cyclists out there. It's a process, huh?
Well, the one thing I think that everybody seems to forget is that every cyclist over the age of 16 is also a driver.
Right.
And we have to share the road. Right. We have to realize that one day I may be driving to the market or driving my kids to school. That afternoon, I may be in the saddle riding up Coast Highway. And my perspective needs to be measured and balanced between both of those as we go on. And as you mentioned, coming back to the notion of getting out to the casual cyclist, I really applaud the police department and our new chief's efforts to reach out. I think that and Councilmember Gardner's abilities to raise awareness are going to be key to that. I would also challenge our colleagues on the committee to, as they see things out in the community, act like and observe as if you are that recreational cyclist. And bring that back to the committee.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's going to be key.
So we had our first meeting last week, and it was very well attended. Probably the best meeting I've seen in terms of attendance from the public at large.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the initiatives we talked about, voted on, and approved is moving forward with Sharrows in Corona Del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step, of course, is community outreach, alerting the community. Merchants, everybody that will be impacted by that. What advice would you have as we begin that outreach to the public on that issue, Tony?
I would suggest that not when we talk about community outreach, really what you're suggesting is an ascertainment, and the community is clearly one of the most important aspects of that. But there is a mountain of regulation that has already been established about the utility, the management, the legal requirements, engineering and planning on Coast Highway. And if we don't look at that as equal to the community involvement, we're going to raise expectations mm-hmm. in the community that cannot be met.
Mm-hmm.
I think that clearly something's got to be done through Corona Del Mar. I don't know the solution yet. If we're going to investigate Sharrows, let's do it. And let's also understand the playing field that we're entering into, because I'm not certain that the obstacles aren't high there.
Yeah, certainly they are. Huh? Traffic volumes, speed of traffic, all of that comes to mind. Huh?
Well, there's not only the prevailing conditions. You have legislative mandates that say that, it's the state relinquished the facility to the city of Newport Beach, mm-hmm. to be sure,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a state highway. What are the legal requirements to maintain that in a manner that it stays the state highway? Highway 1 in California, Highway 1, it is our primary motoring artery. And therefore, it's going to be looked at from the perspective of it being a passenger car, auto-oriented, auto-centric facility. To now try and suggest that it is more a bike facility than a car facility is completely contrary to its designation in our consciousness of its use.
That's a clear distinction to what the city of Long Beach did going through Belmont Shore, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and Belmont Shore is their, that's Second Street. That's their street. It's a lower volume facility. It's a retail corridor. It's not linking, the state of California through the area. It's not a major commute route as Highway 1 is. I would imagine that if the city of Newport or the city of Long Beach were looking at Sharrows on their segment of Highway 1, it'd be a much different conversation.
So that speaks to really the heart in some ways of the challenges we face as bicycle advocates. Huh, Tony, is the automobile has crowded us to the edges, so to speak. Huh?
It's a car-centric community we live in.
Right.
And I think the running joke is we're from Southern California. We drive to the mailbox.
I saw a story in today's Los Angeles Times about a woman. Her husband was in a traffic accident, and she was facing great hardship because she lost the family car and had to walk 2 miles to work. And I feel like shouting, she can't hear me, of course, but get on a bicycle. But that doesn't even come up for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, there are many opportunities, whether it be walking, cycling, the transit system in Orange County. There's not only the notion of mobility and the sustainability of our transportation, but also just personal health. The co-benefits of cycling and of walking are immense. We're talking about healthcare issues now in America. We're talking about Social Security in America, all the safety net issues. Yet just the simple personal responsibility and personal benefits of a decision that means leaving the keys on the counter and getting out and going for a walk or a ride.
I try to do a trip on foot. You know, every chance I get, I walk to the local mall this weekend. It's over 4 miles round trip for me. It's all downhill on the way home. I'm starting to count. I'm starting to think about how to do that. It's good for my health and it's good for the environment too. My eyes have been open to the plight's not the right word, but the pedestrians. Many of the issues that we're addressing are just maybe one step up, or it's on some continuum of pedestrian access, safe access to town for pedestrians too. You've got experience dealing with all kinds of traffic issues, Tony. What's pedestrian issues growing in importance for municipalities as well?
Well, I think with all the consciousness of sustainability that's rising up, this notion of global climate change and the impact cars have on the generation of carbon monoxide and all those others, the planning and the vision for the future is something that will take a more human scale. Right. And I think that what you're seeing now is cities across California are now bracing for change. The great thing, though, is being involved in that in Orange County and being part of the team here in the county working out the Senate Bill 375 issues. I'm at the front row of all of the good works that the 34 cities of Orange County are doing, and it's remarkable.
What is 375, Tony?
SB 375, Senate Bill 375, is legislation that was recently passed that tries to link transportation and land use in a manner that will result in a reduction in greenhouse gas formation. It's looking at incentives, you know, the carrot and the stick, to bring passenger car travel, auto travel down. Well, if we're going to bring auto travel down, let's get the land use and the transportation facilities closer. Let's possibly eliminate some car trips by enhancing pedestrian mobility, by looking at making bikeways better. And as I say, many of the cities in Orange County are on the forefront of doing that. The city of Newport Beach has a very, very robust bike system. And it's just a call to get more people, commuters, to use it.
You were just at a mobility conference, Tony. I was checking an email, and you referred me to the people at Bike Station there. What goes on at a mobility conference like that? These are the issues that people are talking about?
Yes. The future of mobility in the Southern California area. What are we going to do to make the most of the infrastructure that we have now? What are we going to do as we move forward into the future to look at new and emerging trends? And what creatively can we do so that the future generations in the Southland still get the benefits that we enjoy in terms of recreation, work, entertainment, and raising families?
From your perspective, too, watching Los Angeles is doing a lot, has big challenges, but they recently had that event where they closed off the downtown city streets for one Sunday afternoon. As you look at Los Angeles, what are some of the encouraging signs you see?
Well, I think that one, just the leadership in town, taking a real look at getting out of cars and looking at cycling and transit and other alternatives. the whole notion of their recently passed Measure R and the investment that that city is willing to make in alternative modes like transit, like light rail, and their bicycle and pedestrian facilities. That is a huge multi-million dollar investment that that city is going to make in the future of mobility for them.
When you talk about light rail, it makes me think some of the travel that I've done in the past year, Barcelona, Montreal, you see great bicycle, you know, cities have really tamed the automobile in their inner cities. In part, that's because they have great subway systems, transit systems, and we don't in Los Angeles.
Well, and it goes to, Frank, back to the bicycle and back to the pedestrian. There's the question of the last mile.
Right.
The investment that's made, the you know, the hundreds of millions of dollars that are made in subway or light rail or, you know, a very heavy transit are not necessarily going to be successful if you haven't thought out that last mile. How do I get from the train to my office? How do I get from the train to where I want to go? And if, like the good people at Bike Station, are encouraged to get involved, and if planners will look at that last mile as they're doing, then I think we can link the whole chain so that I, as a individual, can get from where I start to where my destination is without having to get in a car.
Well, that's, you're painting the picture there. That's the ultimate objective, I guess. So you and I, maybe we're close to the same age. Our children maybe are going to enjoy more of this than we'll see. And it's going to take some time.
It will. But I think that anything of this significance, anything that will take this type of investment, both in capital as well as just, you know, sweat equity, really deserves a good hard look. And if we have to spend the time to do it, then let's do it. But let's get started.
Tony, let's spend a few minutes talking about you personally and the kind of writing you like to do.
Well, I enjoy writing with a group that I go out with, a Corona Del Mar-based group, Velo 605. It's a group of professional men and women, but they're very, very aggressive. We were just given our USA cycling designation as a team. I also do a lot of multi-sport and am involved on a triathlon team. Wow. And do work there. Any opportunity I can get outside and move is a good opportunity for me. Yeah.
What's the longest ride you've ever done, Tony?
Oh, my gosh. Many centuries. I've been involved in many century rides. With a good friend, I was invited to go and do L'Étape, which is a stage of the Tour de France. We did stage 14 of, I believe it was the 2005 tour, through the French Alps. So that was really something.
Not for beginners.
No, certainly not.
Yeah. So you're out there, you're on routes like Coast Highway then when you're doing those kinds of rides. You've got firsthand experience.
Yes, we're out on all the major roads through our town and virtually every town in Orange County.
Well, Tony, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you, Frank. It was a pleasure.
Okay, we're back in the studio, and once again, time to say thank you to my sponsor, BikeTiresDirect.com. Check them out, please. These interviews, I'm enjoying them. Hope you are, too. Love to hear from you. Come to the website, cdmcyclist.com. You can leave a comment behind. Perhaps Tony pushed one of your buttons. He'd love to hear your point of view. So come on over and leave a comment behind. I have some terrific interviews up my sleeve just this past week. I interviewed Bob Mionski, author of Bicycling and the Law, a fascinating discussion of how vehicle code affects bike riders. And that's coming up next time on CDM Cyclist. Meanwhile, I'm on my way to Seattle this week. I've got a financial conference in Seattle every year. And as I've been doing, As I prepare my travel plans, I reach out to make contact with a local bicycle expert. And Charlie Gandy and Andrea White both had the same recommendation for me while I'm in Seattle. And then, after a few days in Seattle, I'm spending the weekend in Portland. And, of course, bicycling Mecca, Portland. I'll be coming home with more interviews from Portland as well. So keep coming back and tell a friend. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.